difference. Today, I'm going to offer two of the earth touchings from the five earth touchings which I mentioned yesterday, which I didn't think I'd get a chance to offer you. However, conditions have manifested that I am able to offer two of the five earth touchings of Plum Village. What I've done is I've looked at which earth touchings haven't been spoken of that much yet when I've offered this practice. So the words will be quite different. And as usual, if you are interested in what I'm offering you, you can download these from the Plum Village website if you want to reflect on them more in your own time. So, if it's right for you, only if it's right for you, please stand. I won't offer the introduction because both earth touchings are quite long. The third earth touching of the five Plum Village earth touchings. In gratitude, I bow to this land and all the ancestors who have made it available. Please touch the earth. I see that I am whole, protected, and nourished by this land, and all of the living beings who have been here and made life easy and possible for me through their efforts. I see all those who have made this country a refuge for people of many origins by their talent, perseverance, and love. Those who have worked hard to build schools, hospitals, bridges, and roads, to protect human rights, to develop science and technology, and to fight for freedom, social justice, and our planet. I see myself touching these ancestors who have lived on this land for such a long time and know the ways to live in peace and harmony with nature, protecting the mountains, forests, animals, vegetation, and minerals of this land. I feel the energy of this land penetrating my body, supporting and accepting me. I vow to cultivate and maintain this energy and transmit it to future generations. I vow to contribute my part in transforming the violence, hatred, and illusion that still lie deep in the collective consciousness of this society, so that future generations will have more safety, joy, and peace. I ask this land for its protection and support. In your own time, please stand, but please take your time. In gratitude and compassion, I bow down and transmit my energy to those I love. Please touch the earth. All of the energy I have received on this retreat and during this practice, I now wish to transmit to those I love. All those who have suffered and worried for my sake. I know I have not always been mindful enough in my daily life. I also know that those who love me have had their own difficulties. They have suffered because they may not have been lucky enough to have an environment that encouraged their full potential and development. I transmit this energy to my loved ones, so that their pain will be relieved, so that they can smile and feel the joy of being alive. I want all of them to be healthy and joyful. I know that when they are happy, I will also be happy. I do not feel resentment towards any of them. I pray that all ancestors in my blood and spiritual families will focus their energies towards each of them to protect and support them. I know that I am not separate from them. I am one with those I love. So now, dear friends, we have reflections, guided practice. Or perhaps not, perhaps we'll have more touching the earth. So we'll just rearrange ourselves to face that.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just wanna name Dean, you know, whenever the words of the Plum Village tradition come in, you know, I feel I have to not in a negative way, but it's like, oh, it's really a different dance, you know. God, it's really a different dance. Uh-huh. So I think I'm sitting here And not so much in a mental way, but just really in a somatic way. How to dance this right now? So just want to share this. This is why I'm sitting here, not saying anything. We spoke a lot about compassion, or we use the word compassion a lot. And I'm also aware that we use other terms and we haven't really unpicked them to a great degree, which might not be needed. This is where I'm going. This is how I work. I'm unpicking terms, you know, and then I explain them and try to shine different perspectives on them, you know, to reveal their complexity and their multifacetedness, and yeah. And I thought to do this today, you know, which might begin very, very well known, nothing new. Wanted to do this today with the term compassion, because this is what we mention a lot, yeah. And we can have our ideas about what compassion looks like, or how a compassionate person is, how it speaks, and whatever. And I think for me the access point to all these qualities is, to a big degree, with a conceptual underlying, so with a conceptual idea about the terms, is actually the somatic response, the somatic experience of it. This is how I, again, this might not be the case for everyone, absolutely not, we are different, this is how I make sense somehow. And maybe as also just to name, you know, like this morning with the 5 mindfulness trainings, and also now with the new, the 2 new earth touching. I love this. I love the expression earth touching the earth. I love the expression practice. How I can make sense of it is like actually have a somatic response. Yeah. And this is where I'm probably always a little bit. Yeah, just want to name this. So compassion. You know, as I said the other day, and those who have sat with me here, it's quite a lot, you know, one can see these qualities of compassion, metta, and so forth, as particular resonances, as particular frequencies of the heart mind, of citta, you know, that's the translation. You know, and they all have a particular texture, and they also really support and weave each other. They are not clearly distinct from each other. So we mentioned metta, which you translated as loving kindness. I translated as well wishing, as friendliness. Yeah, and we also mentioned compassion. And in the early Buddhist texts, there isn't actually a succinct definition of compassion. Yeah. But one could say, and some of you will heard this a lot, where well-wishing, you know, where loving-kindness metta has a characteristic of wishing well. I wish you well. You know, I wish myself well. Compassion has this as its roots, so wishing well for another or oneself, combined with may you be free from pain of suffering. It's a slightly different shaping. Does it make sense? Again, when I'm saying this, I speak about shaping of the heart, yeah, not like a shaping. Yeah. So very often, one can hear compassion is kindness in the face of suffering. Yeah. So it's not merely a seeing and recognizing of suffering or the realization of the existence of suffering, but with it is also the wish to alleviate it. Yeah. It's always in it, it's woven into it. May you be free, you know, may you be free from suffering. So the Dalai Lama says, according to the teaching, compassion is an aspiration, also very important, is it, again my wording, inclination of the heart, is an aspiration, a state of mind wanting oneself and others to be free from suffering. It's not passive. It's not empathy alone, but rather an empathetic altruism that actively strives to free others from suffering. And this actively striving can be really tricky for us, yeah, because actually the compassionate response, the actively striving for, can have all kinds of different expressions. All kinds of different expressions. You know, sometimes one may think, you know, compassion, I come in, you know, like with a da-do-da-da-da-da-do-da-da, I have to, yeah. We barge in and, yeah. Yes, this is part, like a very active involvement, you know, and it also has this quality of what you so beautifully described the other day, of presence. I'm here. I'm here. I'm witnessing. I'm here. I'm holding this suffering, my suffering, your suffering. I hold this with an as open heart as possible in my awareness. And this is my act of compassion. Yeah. Compassion can be very, very tender, very, very soft. Yeah, it's more this like it's a, you know, have this image of at the bed of a dying person. It's very soft. It's I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to be with you. And it can have a real fierceness to it. Yeah. So I love the iconography in Tibetan Buddhism, you know, the guardians, they don't look like angels, they look like, wah! Yeah. It's like this fearlessness, the fearlessness of compassion, and anything in between. Yeah, so to really not limit, to not too prematurely limit the frequencies in which compassion can sound. Yeah. Also in the Buddhist teachings, again we said this before, it's probably always said, and I will say it again and probably will continue to say it, it's not something, this quality of resonating in this way, yeah, in this bandwidth, it's not something we have or don't have. You know, that the human heart is able to resonate in it. Sometimes it's really, really, really hard, for whatever reasons, to tune into it. But it is possible. It's not something, you know, I don't do this, I don't have this. This is what is possible for the heart mind. It can resonate with it, no matter what stories you might be telling yourself about your capacity. Yeah. Really, really, really important. And the teachings point out, say, oh, this is possible, now let's bring it forth, discover it, find out. Yeah, this capacity of the human heart to stay present with suffering. And this might be the suffering of us closing down in the face of suffering. It's also part of the I can't. That's part of it. Oh, heart can't be here right now. It's not possible. And I think this is so important. See, it's so important to see that no matter how far away the concept we might have, or how unreachable the arising of compassion might feel in any moment, can we hold even this? Even say, I can't and I don't want. Sometimes we don't want, yeah. Because we think actually if we open up in this way, we are betraying. We're betraying ourselves or someone else, yeah. You know, if I... you're looking like you're wondering. Do you want me to... You know, it's like... You know, when I heard yesterday the story of Thich Nhat Hanh going into the camps of the Americans with a compassionate response... I can imagine that some people doing this might think, doing this, I betray my people. That's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to open here yet. I can't open here yet. Yeah. And to hold this, you know, our limitations here really in compassion, we can actually only support compassion with a compassionate attitude, not with the try a little bit harder, or not good enough. Mm. Do you think this is compassionate? Yeah, you should look at Thich Nhat Hanh. And you get even annoyed if someone, whatever, takes the last bit off before you get some, you know. And of course, if we light something, if we again, I said this before with generosity, if we'd shown this light of compassion in to look at our lives and what is happening in our heart mind, it will highlight the places where we are not compassionate. Yeah, it will highlight it. And sometimes it's so unpleasant to see it. So unpleasant to see it. Yeah. So what is compassion also partly based on is a recognition, it's a frequency of the heart, again my word, frequency of the heart that is accessible, which we can cultivate, which we can really widen out, you know, we can widen out. And it is actually a deeply, deeply liberating resonance to resonate in. You know, sometimes we can shrink a little bit, you know, when we hear this, you know. But what we discover is that actually the heart delights to resonate in compassion. We love sensing it. Does it make sense? Yeah. Just said it better here. I had a better words for what I just said. Let's see if I can find it. Doesn't really matter. Because when compassion, when metta is present in the being, when the heart mind is resonating in this way, it is an expression that our being, our heart, has already softened to some degree, and it supports this softening. It supports this opening of the heart. It supports degrees of not getting entangled. And if we really pay attention, when we sense, again, this is a somatic feel of it, we see that compassion, like metta, like joy, like gratitude, like kindness, like generosity, is something the heart loves to quiver in. It's lovely. Yeah. So even though compassion arises as we witness or are open to a pain, we can also see that it is somehow beautiful to feel this response in our hearts. And even when I say this, I can, you know, I can also sense that this might feel uncomfortable. How can I enjoy this when they're suffering? And it's not like, oh, I enjoy it, you know. It's like, oh, actually, this is actually something which is onward leading, you know. It's not that we should be compassionate because we are told to, but it is actually liberating. It's liberating. It's transforming. It gives us more sovereignty. I'll really try, will probably completely adopt this word from you now. Appropriate it. With any degree of compassion, kindness there is actually more freedom. And because there is more freedom and we are less stuck in our habitual responses, what it also brings forth is a higher degree of creativity in our responses. Yeah. I think I stop here. What I would like to do is to offer a short compassion meditation. And in this compassion meditation, it's like I will offer suggestions, and the main emphasis for you, some of you will be very familiar with it, it's not so much like thinking about the phrases, but to let them ripple in the heart mind. You know, and there might be, you know, not a lot happening at all. Might feel quite dry. May you be free from suffering, you know. There might be the opposite arising, irritation, shut up, Kirsten, leave me alone, I hate you. I know this from myself, that's what I'm speaking about. Yeah, it's like, oh God. And there might be, you know, there might be an opening. There might be something is really resonating, and the heart mind is open up, and anything in between. All of these responses are fine. They are part of the territory. They are part of the territory. Sometimes we can open up, and sometimes. Because for whatever conditions, it's not so easy. Yeah? The words might not work for you. You might need other words. Find other words inwardly. You might be too tired. You might be this, that, or the other. Whatever happens at any point, you know, no matter how many times you engage in these practices, and there are many different ways of doing this, please refrain from the tendencies to make statements about what is possible for your heart or not. Because it doesn't say anything, it's just right now, this is happening. Really, really important. So, like, just take a moment of taking your seat. About 20 minutes. Again, this is one form of doing it, and there are many others. So how do we prime our heart? Prepare our heart. Take a moment to again welcoming yourself and letting yourself be welcomed. Again, in whatever ways this makes sense to you. The quality of welcoming, which is, as I said this morning, is already some kind of opening towards, relaxing into, has already a softening quality. Softens already the fabric of the heart. Yourself be welcomed by earth, by breath, by the sangha in this room, by the wider sangha of trees, birds. In one of these areas I might really speak to you, or this is where I can let myself feel welcomed. Go with this, you don't have to go with all. Where can you feel welcomed? Right now, where can you welcome yourself right now in? Another powerful moisturizer of the heart is the quality of appreciation, delight, gratitude. So right now, is there anything that comes to your heart, mind, you can delight in? And this might be sound of a bird, the warmth of your shawl, the softness of the breath breathing you. Or anything else. moisturizing the heart in this way, or in any other way that is accessible for you right now. Might be the memory of a loved one, the image of a loved one. Now invite into your heart mind the image, the presence of someone you care about. And again, you can bring this person, this being into your heart, mind, in whatever way works for you. Maybe you are visually and it's an image, it's just a sense of presence. There's no one way of doing this. Bringing someone to mind you care about, maybe someone who inspired you, who has been kind to you. Today or in the past. And then silently offer phrases of compassion. It's not that you give them compassion, but it's like you evoke this quality into this relationship, into this relationship. And the phrases might be something like, "May you be free from pain and sorrow." May you be free from pain and sorrow. May you be well and happy. You can repeat these phrases or find your own phrases. Just this is where you use them as sparks to ignite the flame of compassion. Finding your own rhythm, your own way with these phrases. May you be free from pain and sorrow. May you be well and happy. Mm. not forcing the heart mind to resonate in a particular way, but sowing seeds of possibility. And if the fire of compassion is already glowing a little bit, see if you can include yourself. It can be very challenging for us, for many of us. So you could go to I, or you could go to we. See what works, what keeps the flame of compassion going. May we be free of pain and sorrow, still including also the other. May we be well and happy. Or may I be free of pain and sorrow. May I be well and happy. So it's the only judge now here, which phrase to use, which version to use, is what is happening. Is the closing down happening, or is the stretching of the heart happening? You always go with the easier option. Very important. You always go along where it's more accessible. May we be free from pain and sorrow. May we be well and happy, safe and protected, live with ease. If you wish, you can stay here, tending here the fire of compassion. Or if you wish, you can bring to mind a person, a being you know, you may have heard or read about, who is going through some kind of difficulty. And I think very important, you know, especially if the fire is still quite tender and small, to not go now to the most extreme suffering you can think of. It's like we're going the way of least resistance here. Least resistance. Holding this person in your heart, wishing them well, to be free from pain of and suffering. May you be free from pain and sorrow, from suffering and dis-ease. May you feel at ease. May you know joy and happiness, finding your own way, own rhythm, maybe own words. And then letting go of any being, of any presence, of another person you might be holding in your heart, mind. Just give yourself a moment to connect. This expression of life that you call, that's me, that's mine, that's I, sitting here being breathed. Again, I'm aware that some of you are very familiar with a whole range of practices like this, and for some of you this is new. If you wish, play with it, and I mean play with it. And again, just want to say, stress again, which is not very often we approach when we want to do something, is go the way of least resistance. It's like where the heart is opening up. This is one you want to follow. If you then bring a being or bring a something into the heart mind, where the heart is closing down again, acknowledge this and go back where it's easy, because you wanna allow the heart to open, not to go like open. You know, I say very often, it's not my phrase, you can't squeeze kindness out of yourself. It's not possible. Yeah. And to do this with some confidence, that's possible for you. Okay, I'll stop here. Oh dear. So group B and C will be meeting either Dean or myself. For the rest of you, very welcome to continue practicing in the hall. Also really welcome to see what is a gesture that works for you. This is your retreat. Yeah, this is your retreat. Yeah. See what is helpful. See what is helpful right now and follow this inner guidance. Rather than not doing it. Okay, great. So we meet back here at 4:15 for a sitting meditation, and both Dean and I may be a little bit late, but you don't need us to start, is it? Okay, enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.